Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we are being paid a visit by Patrick A. Salvi II, managing partner of Salvi Shostak and Pritchard. Is that correct?
You got it.
All right. Thank you for coming up, Patrick. We're going to be talking about this whole Sterigenics thing that has really exploded. I live in LaGrange, not too far from Willowbrook, but I know there was big news when the Sterigenics plant was closed on a Friday. Was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was February 15th, right?
This is scary stuff. They are a company that basically sterilizes medical supplies. Am I correct in that?
That's correct. So Sterigenics is a company in Willowbrook, and they have a plant where essentially they can take medical supplies that are even packaged, so they don't even have to take the supply out of the package. And with the equipment that they have and with the use of a chemical, a gas, ethylene oxide, sterilize that medical equipment.
You need sterile medical equipment. That's a fact. And I didn't know anything about this Sterigenics plant. And how did it come to light?
Sure. So in the fall of last year, there was a report put out by an agency within the federal government that identified excessive emissions as well as an increased danger associated with ethylene oxide. In other words, ethylene oxide has been now recognized as being a known human carcinogen. And so we're on much more heightened alert as it relates to that gas. But in addition, excessive emissions in and around the Willowbrook area where Sterigenics is.
Okay, so that comes out that it's creating this gas. And then do people in the neighborhood or people who work there all of a sudden try to make the connection of, wait, I have cancer? How did that connection all start?
That's a great question. So as I've talked to some of the folks who have been affected, one thing that they say that I hear over and over again is, on my block, there were so many instances of cancer and we couldn't figure out what it was. And I've heard it over and over again. We could not figure it out why it was happening with such frequency. And I'm not just talking about in the last 5 years. I'm talking about the late 80s into the 90s, into the 2000s, and over the last few years as well. And so in addition to people starting to put those pieces to the puzzle together, after that report came out in the fall of last year, the U.S. EPA did targeted testing. And keep in mind, this is when Sterigenics knows they're under the microscope. And while doing that testing over the course of December and January, and into February, the emission levels were by multiples of more than 100 higher than what is a, or I should say, what is potentially considered a, and I'm going to put this in quotes, safe level of ethylene oxide. We're not sure there is a safe level, but
who determines, is that the EPA who determines that, or who makes that decision on what a safe level or an unsafe level is?
So that's based on scientific studies, epidemiological studies. So, you know, the US EPA, they do what they do, and they have regulations and laws that they're supposed to enforce, but they rely upon the scientific community.
Yeah.
And so the scientific community has looked at, and not in great detail, but certain scientists have really dived deep and determined at what level is there an enhanced risk of cancer.
Yeah.
And so those levels have been tried to, you know, we've tried to figure out exactly what that is, because there truly is. There's ethylene oxide. There's what's called ambient ethylene oxide pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
What the source of it is can be up for debate. But when you look at the testing that was done in and around the Sterigenics facility,
right,
it was so high.
And right, that's after, yeah, there was a warning about there could be possible emissions. Why wasn't this checked years ago? Was anyone keeping track of this?
Okay, well, that's another very important question for both the Illinois EPA moving forward as they figure out, along with the Attorney General's office, what to do about this seal order, whether Sterigenics will ever reopen, as well as the litigation that I'm involved in and other plaintiffs' lawyers are involved in representing the victims. So what we have is we have Sterigenics, where the emissions that are coming from the plant are being tested internally. So over the years, they self-report to the EPA. And what they self-report is what's coming out of the scrubbers. Now, there's a question there. Is what they're reporting accurate? That's a question that needs to be looked at, and we'll be conducting extensive discovery to see if they were reporting accurately. That's number one. Number two, there's something known as fugitive emissions. So I have heard about this from ex-employees. It was on a CBS story. It was right after the Super Bowl. Ex-employees have said that when the alarms were going off, that the ethylene oxide within the plant was too high. For the workers that were working there, rather than go through the appropriate protocols, potentially evacuate the building while it's unsafe, they would just open the windows, let it into the community. So that's what ex-employees have told us. People are stepping up. And
can I ask how often that was an occurrence? Did that happen frequently, or is that a one-time thing, or what?
No, yeah. From my understanding, and again, we continue to collect information from folks that are coming forward, because you have to be very brave to come forward. And so from folks that are coming forward, it's not that it was a one-time occurrence. It's that it was part of the culture.
Really?
Yeah.
I have so many questions about this. Patrick A. Salvi II is here, managing partner of Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard. You're over on Clark Street. SalviLaw.com is the best way for people to get in touch with you?
That's correct.
And even if they're in, even though you're a Chicago office, if they are living in or around the Willowbrook area and want to talk about this, they contact you? Is that the best thing to do?
They can. And
is this a class action suit, or is this a personal? How is it handled? How are you guys doing it?
Sure. It's not quite a class action suit. So a class action suit is typically reserved for those types of cases where an individual case would make a lot of sense. Let's say a whole group of people, say a million people, are cheated out of $100. Well, nobody would bring an individual lawsuit, but you might bring a class action lawsuit and put it all together and make sure that the wrongdoer is held accountable. So that's not what this is. Each individual will have their own lawsuit, but because it's so many people, the courts have to do something to accommodate. You couldn't possibly have thousands and thousands of individual lawsuits. It would crowd the court docket. So the courts are going to have to figure out a way to expeditiously resolve these disputes over the next few years.
We have a ton more questions. Listeners have some questions. 312-981-7200. So we will continue talking about the Sterigenics plant that is now currently closed. Will it ever open? We don't know the answer to that.
We don't. We'll talk about it more in just a little bit.
All right, it's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and Patrick A. Salvi II is in the studio with us, managing partner of Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard. Their Chicago office is on Clark Street. You can go to salvilaw.com. We're talking about Sterigenics. It's really blown up with the plant being closed on February 15th. I was asking you, Patrick, off the air, first of all, I can't imagine Sterigenics is the only plant around that is sterilizing medical equipment using ethylene
oxide.
Are there other places in the area that are doing this?
So two places are in Lake County, in the Gurnee-Waukegan area, Medline and Vantage. And the recent news reports that I've read is residents are concerned and asking for similar type testing. So it's important to note that there are plants, even Sterigenics plants, around the country. So there's more than just Sterigenics in Willowbrook that are using ethylene oxide to sterilize medical equipment. The question is really about emitting the ethylene oxide.
Were the other places tested?
Same deal as far as their self-reporting to the EPA. And so when you have a situation where you don't know how accurate that is, and the state EPA or the U.S. EPA is for whatever reason not able to do their own testing, or they're not doing adequate audits, or whatever the case may be, you're really just relying on the self-reporting. And then when you hear some of these things after the fact, for example, what I said before the break about ex-employees speaking out about some of the practices at the Willowbrook Sterigenics, then you become very concerned about really the reliability of the figures that were self-reported by the companies.
Self-reported, that's very scary. We tell people the show is good that we're on, you know, that's just our own opinion.
Yeah, everyone knows we're making it up. How much of the case is spent determining whether or not they were endangering the people in and around Willowbrook, and then how much of the case is spent with them where you're trying to prove that they knew that they were endangering them. You know what I mean? There's a difference. Yes, there.
There is. And there are remedies for folks who are victims that might not depend upon knowledge, but at the same time, knowledge is very important. So let's talk about that. When we talk about things like asbestos, when we talk about things like tobacco, historically, there were industries, there were individuals, and so-called scientists that were hired by companies that had an interest in promoting the safety of, for example, asbestos and tobacco. Now, as we sit here today in 2019, we know that both of those things are extraordinarily dangerous to our health.
Yeah.
And so when individuals were then bringing lawsuits and plaintiffs' lawyers like myself began digging into the evidence, doing discovery, getting documents, they learned a whole lot about the tobacco and asbestos industry that showed their knowledge, that showed the cover-ups, that showed that tremendous financial resources were being put behind the defense of those products. And so where are we now with ethylene oxide? I can't tell you because we're sort of just getting going.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of equate it like this. Where there's smoke, a lot of times there's fire. There's certainly plenty of smoke in certain ways right now in the sense that even under the microscope, the emissions are way too high, and ex-employees have spoken out as such, and we know it's a cancer cluster in the Willowbrook area in the sense that it's one of the top cancer clusters in America. And so what does that tell us? It tells us that something is going on, and
right,
we need to get to the bottom of this. So what will discovery reveal as far as knowledge? I don't know, but we're going to look at that very, very closely.
Surely there must be another way to sterilize medical equipment.
So there is, and there are a variety of ways to sterilize medical equipment. Now, Sterigenics will take the position that certain medical equipment requires ethylene oxide. In some of the court filings, they stated that more than 50% of medical equipment is sterilized by ethylene oxide. So if that's the statistic they provide, that means up to or approaching 50% is not ethylene oxide, but they do say certain equipment has to be ethylene oxide. What I can tell you is that there was a particular product that may very well have been much safer than ethylene oxide, and this was a product developed by a company, Noxilizer. In 2016, the FDA cleared a sterilization process that did not involve the use of ethylene oxide. And in October of 2017, the company Noxilizer was purchased by Sterigenics, and we haven't heard about that technology since. It would, of course, be a very expensive maneuver to completely uproot their systems, to change the process of taking in orders, sterilizing equipment, getting the equipment out, having the appropriate equipment in all of their plants with a safer product. That would be a very expensive endeavor.
So it looks like they're just buying up their competition
and burying
their competition.
That's right? That's what it looks like, and that's another thing we've got to look at.
Patrick, is this sterilization ever done on site? Is it ever done at hospitals, or is it always done kind of off campus? How do they manage that?
Sure. So my understanding is that some of it is done on site.
Yeah.
However, the lion's share of implants and surgical instruments and things that are that need to be carefully packaged, the ethylene oxide method penetrates the packaging. And that's one of the benefits of ethylene oxide. So again, if ethylene oxide could be perfectly contained, and if companies put in the appropriate resources to perfectly or as best they can contain the ethylene oxide, that would be much better than what we've understood from Sterigenics as far as the emissions. But to answer your question, hospitals, my understanding is they do some of it, but not even close to the level that a company like Sterigenics
sure
does.
It's very scary, and I have to tell you, if I lived in Willowbrook, even if I didn't have cancer now, I would be afraid that I would develop it. This is over the course of many years this has been going on.
Well, and I don't want to add to the doom and gloom, but it is a very sad situation because what you have are two things at play. Number one, ethylene oxide mutates the genes. That's the way it affects the human body. And the mutation of genes occurs when ethylene oxide is breathed in. And then what you have is the gene mutation accumulates. So the more ethylene oxide, the more gene mutation. It affects children at a higher with a higher impact, so to speak, than adults. The developing body, it's a more profound effect on the developing body, including fetuses. And so what you have is a situation where there are people with mutated genes who may not have cancer now, but they might have it in the future.
Right. And as sad as the cancer element is, and that's horrifically sad, things like property values are plummeting because of this, right? Who's going to buy in an area that's got this going on?
And you're absolutely right about property value, and we can't kind of shove that aside. I mean, obviously, our health is the most
sure.
important thing, but these are people's, you know, livelihoods, their life savings that have gone into
yeah.
into their real estate, and so you're right about that. But also just, you know, it's FDR, was it FDR, I believe, that said, we have, Winston Churchill, I'm going to correct myself, nothing to fear but fear itself.
Yeah.
There's fear now in the community.
Yeah, sure.
And it looks like it could be taken care of, that there are ways to maybe keep Sterigenics in business, but make it be safer for the environment and the people working there.
I think that has to be done one way or another, whether they reopen and make it safer or don't reopen. I mean, that's going to be a governmental process through the Illinois EPA and the Attorney General's office.
Yeah.
And then just accountability going forward. I mean, that's really what we're trying to do, not only help our victims with the compensation that they're going to really need to move forward and to take care of their families, but also the accountability so that any company in the future that's wondering, should we do the safe thing even though it's going to cost more, or should we just look at the bottom line? That they do the former and not
Absolutely.
The latter.
Patrick Isalvi the second, thank you so much. Best way for people to reach you?
www.salvilaw.com. You can go on that website, you can find me there, and you can also call us at 312-372-1227. Again, 312-372-1227.
Thanks, Patrick.
So much.
News is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.